Oh God, come and encourage us this morning. Come and build us up, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now then, you're very quiet on this Amen business. You know, you need to say Amen. I'll do what C.T. Studd did to some of the Christians he saw converted in the part of Africa he was in. He got a bit fed up with them saying Amen and sounded like a bunch of dying cows, these black Africans, so he got them saying Hallelujah at the end of prayer. I know you wouldn't like that, but you know, we do need to say Amen, because it's all the promises of God in Christ, the yes and Amen, Amen. Amen. To us, which is wonderful. Now, I want to look at something this morning which is at the very heart of Revelation, which is right at the heart of everything that's in the Bible, which is so important, and yet so misunderstood, and so often not referred to. And it's a very important issue. And people talk about this matter as though it was a symbol or a picture or picture language. I want to talk to you from two particular verses. One is Leviticus 17:11, which says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." And the verse we've just read together, which is, "But you were not saved with all sorts of other corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Yes, I want to talk to you about the blood in Scripture this morning. It's a very important concept, and people often neglect it, people often cease to preach from it, and it's so important to stress it. Even amongst evangelicals now in America, it's being taken as a sign, as a symbol, as a picture of what Christ did on the cross. When the Bible speaks about blood, it means the living, actual blood of the being. It does not mean some sort of picture. So when we talk about the blood of Christ, we're not talking in picture language. We're talking about Christ's literal blood. We were saved by Christ's literal, real blood being shed for us, not by a picture. Now when we're talking about the communion, we're not talking about wine becoming blood or any of that nonsense. We're talking about it representing to us, reminding us of something. But in the Bible, when the Bible talks about being saved by the blood, it means the literal blood of Christ. God has a very high price on the blood of beasts. It was those beasts that were used as symbols, as pictures of what was to come in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sets quite an important stand on the blood of men. The Bible, contrary to what most people would say today, teaches that if someone is murdered out in this street out here, the blood of that murdered person cries out for justice. It's not just a matter of it being spilt and oh dear how sad we need to punish somebody. It's more than that, it cries out for justice. And the blood of good men cry out for justice. We know, we're told about that in that verse that David read earlier, about the blood of Abel which cries out. And the blood of Abel cries out for vengeance, we're told earlier in Hebrews. That blood says, I want vengeance for my just unjust death. And so blood to God is important. The life is in the blood, says the scripture. But the blood of Christ's blood, is most precious of all. Christ's blood is most precious of all. J.C. Ryle, when he was speaking to his ministers before he finished in the Liverpool diocese as an older man, he said to his ministers and church leaders, "Make much of the blood, brethren. Make much of the blood." And it's my desire to keep to that instruction this morning. Let us make much of the blood of Christ. So I want to say seven things about the blood this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. First of all, the blood is pure. The blood of Christ is pure. Again, people are suggesting that he had just ordinary human blood. Well, I would say to you that one of the major arguments against that is he was born of the Virgin. Where do we get our genes from for our blood? We get our genes from our father, not from our mother. The blood type always follows the father's blood type, doesn't it? And, you know, in our blood is carried sin, isn't it? And disease. And impurity. And unrighteousness. We are the children of Adam before we get the blood transfusion from the cross. We are the children of men. We are ordinary. We are just the same. We are all lost in our sins. And there is nothing there to save us. But Christ's blood was not like our blood. Christ's blood was a pure blood. He's a pure blood. He didn't inherit from Joseph his genes. He was born of God. He is God the Son. And his blood is pure. Even Judas, that deceptive, stealing, evil-infested person, and that's who Judas really was, according to Scripture. Even Judas says, "I have shed the blood, the innocent blood. I have shed innocent blood." And we have to remember that the blood of Jesus is pure. And we are purchased, says Acts 20:28. We are purchased with his own blood. We are not just purchased with some vague symbol. We are purchased with Jesus' literal blood. It is his own blood that pours out on the ground. Hebrews 10 and 4 shows us the purity of that blood. And we need to realise that only the blood of Jesus can make pure, because it's pure in itself. Only the blood of Jesus can give us righteousness, because the blood of Jesus was never involved. The pure blood of Christ was shed for you. We're told that in 1 Peter that the blood is incorruptible. The blood does not become corrupt by touching us, by touching our lives. His blood, his death on the cross, was never corrupted. He didn't. When he died, he bore our sins, but he never became a sinner. We can never say Jesus was a sinner on the cross. Jesus took our sins, but he was always and permanently pure. Not only was his birth a pure birth, but his blood that flowed in his veins is incorruptible. There's no change to it. He doesn't become sinful when he dies on the cross for us. He really and truthfully is offering up pure, incorruptible blood on the cross for us. I want to say to you that the blood of Christ is available. Revelation 7 8 speaks of a multitude that no man can number in heaven. Already, not in the future, now. A multitude in heaven that no man can number. You know, sometimes when we look at ourselves and see the number of people we are, we think, oh dear, everywhere is as bad as this and as difficult as this. I am amazed when I realise and look at situations across the world. And I think it was 1982, a figure was put out that there were 42 persons being converted every minute, which is incredible when you think about it, isn't it? And when you look to the old congregational hymn writers and their Isaac Watts saying, "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun," that heart-beating hope is still going forward. 42 persons throughout the world are being converted every minute. And that isn't ones who put their hands up and you never see them again. These are people who become church members and live out a godly Christian life we're talking about. There are actually more than 42 every minute if you count in everybody and anybody. But 42 every minute. of those who join churches because they've become truly Christian, which is marvellous. Think about that. 42 persons every year. And the blood of Christ is available to a multitude that no man could number. A Digby can get out his computers and work on it for a century if he wishes, but the Bible says it's no man can number the amount that have been saved through that available blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is available, and is available to you this morning. If you don't know Christ, if you've never trusted him for your, the forgiveness of your sins, the blood of Christ is available to you. Come to Christ. Don't just hope or wonder vaguely, oh, I might be saved. Know that you are saved. Come to Christ. Come to him and trust in him. This blood is available for you. It's a pure blood. It's a blood that remains pure constantly. The blood of Christ is shed for your sins. And it's available to you today. Do you know? Do you know that you're amongst that group of people that no man? It's available. It's given to us by a covenant, by a contract. Matthew 26:28, Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many. He makes his blood the covenant. God makes a contract with his chosen people, that set number. And he makes a clear contract with them. And he promises them cleansing in the blood. God has promised to cleanse you if you call on him and plead the blood of Christ. If you died this afternoon and went to heaven and you were greeted at the pearly gates by someone and they said to you, why should I let you in? And if you said, because I went to church this morning, they'd say no. If you said, because I've always given money to missionaries, they'd say no. No entry. Barred is the way. If you said, because I've always lived a good life and I've never sworn and I've never been angry and I've never had a row with my husband or my wife, praise, no entry. But if you went to that gate of heaven this day on your death, and the person said, why should I let you? And you said, because Jesus died cross for me, his blood has washed away my sin. The gates will be flung open wide. The blood of Christ, God's blood, cleanses from each and every sin. The blood is something that's given to us contractually. It will always work. God will never deny a human being who comes to him and says, Lord, save me. The big phrase, isn't it? Big complicated one. Lord, save me. By the blood of Christ, save me. So it's a pure blood. It's a blood that doesn't tarnish. It's incorruptible. It's a blood that's available. It's a blood that's given by contract. It's a blood that's inexhaustible. You know, these people, some people say that Jesus had ordinary human blood. And that ordinary human blood just ran into the ground. And when we talk about blood in the Bible, we mean a symbol. No, blood in the Bible means blood. And it's inexhaustible blood. It's amazing, isn't it? People say, oh, well, yes, well, the cross was then, and now Jesus is risen. And the gospel we should preach is that Jesus is risen. Well, we do believe he's risen. And hallelujah, we can rejoice in the fact that he's risen. And oh, what a saviour we have, who is powerful and strong to save. But when we go through those verses that David read earlier, we're told that Hebrews 13. verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There are people who would say that when Jesus rose again, that blood was set aside. But here, the apostle is quite clearly saying that the great shepherd of the sheep was brought up from the dead, was raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We could refer to Romans 1, where it says he was raised for our justification. He's brought through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus' blood was part of his resurrection. And so that blood is inexhaustible. It's because it's divine blood that flowed in Jesus' veins. His human body had divine blood, incorruptible, pure, holy, available blood. The Lord Jesus Christ had in his veins that pure blood of God, his Father. And his blood is inexhaustible. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been, how awful. You know, it's so difficult, isn't it, for some believers. I don't know whether you've come across this yourself. But they commit one sin, and the devil comes to them and says, you will never be forgiven. You will never be forgiven. Many a time it's a sexual sin that this is about. And you will never, ever be forgiven, says the devil. And people go around and say, oh, I can never be forgiven. Some people have not gone on missionary calls, as they've seen it. And they go around for the rest of their life saying, I fail. I can't. God does not want these people to spend their entire life wandering around under a cloud, does he? God does not want people to walk around wondering whether they're forgiven. The Bible is clear. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. And it doesn't matter what we've done, the real blood of Jesus is inexhaustible. There's a preacher once who had a man who just committed a murder come up to him and hold a gun to him. And he said, I heard you preach this evening. And before I came out, I murdered a relative. He said, and I stand before you and I'm going to murder you now. But you say, I could be forgiven, I cannot be forgiven. And the preacher looked him in the eye and he said, the blood of God's Son will cleanse you from everything. And he looked at him. The man began to shed tears. He said, shoot me, Lord. I'm going to heaven. But where would you go? And I'm going to heaven. He said, God will do it. And he said, yes, God can forgive me. God will forgive me. And that man called on Christ. Saved. I'm afraid he was led away and he was punished for his crimes by the loss of his life. What's more important? Life or his life? And finally, the blood is in heaven. We have all those references in Revelation to the lamb slain being present in heaven. But if you turn over in Hebrews to the reading that David did read, you'll see that all these things are in heaven, aren't they? But you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, that's all in heaven, to an innumerable company of angels, all in heaven. The church of the firstborn, registered in heaven, to God who is in heaven, judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, in heaven, to Jesus, who is now in heaven. And to the blood is in heaven. The blood has an eternal nature about it. We have been purchased by his own blood. It is incorruptible. It is available to you today. It is given contractually. This blood is inexhaustible. And it's forever. God's forgiveness is forever. The blood that was poured out by Christ upon the cross is for always and forever, and is for you today. Oh, praise God for him. Will you come to Christ this morning, Christian? Will you come to him? Will you turn to him? Will you cry out to him? Perhaps you are If you've been brought up in a Christian home, you need to experience the blood for yourself. Will you come to Christ? Perhaps you don't know the Lord Jesus. You've never come to know him. Will you come to Christ this morning? Christ himself is able to save you and to forgive you and to cleanse you, because his blood did once atone, and now it pleads before the throne. Amen.